Now let me begin again. Your eyes flicker open, glued shut with the synthetic sleep you forced them ajar to the deep soul whistling of an old-timer track. The voice cracks in. Here's a little song I wrote. You might wanna sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Willing your eyes to focus as the echoed hiss of the whistled notes matches up with the blinking of the neon milk pink sign. Pain shoots through your left eyebrow. The swirling typography is reminiscent of American diners you only ever saw in movies. Your eyes come into focus further. Outlined in sea-punk turquoise, the words memeplex spring to the foreground. As you read the words over again, a cluster headache begins to form behind your left eye, and you remember that your body exists beyond your lids. Trying to find connections with limbs feels like scrolling back through endless direct messages for a direct piece of information you should already know, which is why you don't ask the other person directly and save time. You only find suggested comments that could link up, but it makes no sense. It's hazy and fluffy. The song peaks. Ooh, don't worry. Ooh, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody come and took your bed. Something metal falls to your right side, near your knee. You think, and your mind zones back into the room. Bodies shuffle around you. Your ability to multitask perception is increasing. You can only glimpse them from the corner of your eye, mostly femmes, the token mask, all dressed in the same milk, pink, Please, Izzy, Miyake, fakes. The faces look crisp but tired. Too much powder sits between their pores, and the slight crinkle around their lips of the natural stain tells you the story they've been up for hours. One moves past your eye line. You get a good look at what's in that kidney-shaped metal tray they're all carrying. It looks like a grub or a bean, small for a large dish. It wriggles, flickers, and life. If you weren't so woozy, you would swear it almost looked like an electric billboard was active under its gelatinous capreous shell. Protruding from either its head or tail was what you thought looked like three copper hooks. Your eyes dart around more, and you focus on a framed glossy poster in creamy green letters, the words, "I think, therefore I spam." Crake. Spell out, slightly tinged with neon yellow dots. Your eyes fade out again. You come to, you're now sitting up in a room. Your back is enforced with memory foam pillows to create the illusion that you're sitting up, but actually, you're laying upright. Above your head is a knockoff Panero marquee light, which utters warm, eerie, reassuring glows into the moon. Your limbs are all clicked back into your neurofunctions. In fact, you feel rather fresh, a bit like when you went on that grow-your-own-wheatgrass diet until the grass went yellow with overwatering. One single glass of water sits on your bedside table. A faint tremor skirts across its surface. If you look at it carefully, but you choose not to, as that would unleash a wave of probably healthy paranoia, and you're ready for that just yet. The only item that seems rather out of place is the heavy, earth-toned crochet blanket that covers your legs between the holes of the patterns you see twigs and feathers have been tacked in. Is that even a little bone? As your hand reaches to unknot the debris from the blanket, the door opens. You lock eyes with the figure in the door fiercely. Thank you. She snaps in, long-legged, high-cheekboned. She would have had a beautiful shape if she hadn't given herself up to sit at a computer all day. The telltale curvature of the spine was present on the jawline. You can tell she tries to reverse through endless sessions of yin yoga, but it's still visible to someone who fears the same condition. Nothing of the milk-pink uniform is visible apart from her stockings, dubbed the same color as the kidney tray squad. Otherwise, she's dressed in black, beautifully set off against the marquee light. Oddly enough, she just sits down on the corner of the bed, so casual-like, as her buttock compresses the feathered knit web. She starts slowly fingering the words. I see. Well, I guess you're wondering where you are. Well, welcome to Memeplex. She laughs, then continues. You woke up, and that's why you're here. There's not many of us that wake up, so that's why we need to have this little chat. Do you understand me, or is it still too early for you? You nod. You wonder if she's a native speaker. Her tone is correct, but her choice of words is clunky. Well, good. I will start by telling you a little about Memeplex. We're a neutral hospital that specializes in neuro-ops, which means we transplant a number of memes into a person's mind over their lifespan. It typically averages at 3 times a life. These memes are from various socio-political human fractions. It's at no cost to the patient, but the fraction must pay. Some fractions have their own funds. Others fundraise, and, well, a few have patrons who pay for their meme corpse plantation. This is your first operation, and it seems like it was too late. She clears her throat. As you may know, a meme is a self-replicating entity of human culture. These cultures are built to be survival machines, blindly programmed to survive and disqualify other meme mites. What we do here at Memeplex is surgically birth memes into the host body from various fractions. In a very democratic way, I must stress. We carefully choose the meme cocktail so it swings both ways, left to right, red to blue. Don't worry, we really don't manipulate the nest, so to speak. Are you okay? She asks. Do you follow what I'm saying? You nod. Your hand tightens into a clawed fist under the covers. Good. Some people feel a little overwhelmed when they find out first. So anyway, these meme mites live off the human brain. At first, they all compete for the host's neural resources, but over the years, one typically becomes stronger than the rest and a form of mimetic cannibalism takes place in the host's mind. This is normally quite painful if the host is grey zone or way political, but after a while, the host sets into the rhythm of what you would call Stockholm syndrome. They begin to mirror the meme with their own body language. This allows them to be accepted by the meme and create rapport with it. Typically, the host is totally oblivious to the fact they're doing this. Eventually, all hosts become very attached to the alpha meme, primarily because at this point, the alpha meme holds 80% of the mental strength of its host. as it has eaten away most of the host's nutritional content. All clear? You nod. Good. At this point, we then bring in the host and milk the meme. It has hundreds of tiny tits that come up out of the shell as it gains strength. We then have a special process that bottles that meme's milk, and we feed the host with another meme's milk with a similar creed. This strengthens the host, but does not weaken the meme queen. We never feed the host its own meme milk. This has had terrible consequences. You may wonder why milking is so important. At least I did. Well, anyway. Each milking not only contains the sustenance of the host to live longer, diversify, but it also carries on the bacteria of the human genetic strain. This is then exchanged between the hosts of this to strengthen the human genome and give it a majority share in the body. She pauses and clicks her tongue. Secret for the last decade, but to be completely transparent, I'll tell you. The once human body has begun to accept and evolve through other animals, plants, and minerals' genetics, which means the human that we have previously known, the human of our history books, social repertoire, political parties, may eventually go extinct as the body evolves to a more practicing neopatheism structure. The reason you woke up is, well, it's not so easy to say this, but basically, don't worry, but you're already too diversified. Essentially, human is your minority gene structure.